Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
I mean, honestly, I don't even get who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hi, and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody of The Score. Dan and I are both at Lambeau Field, where the Bears beat the Packers. Again, the Bears beat the Packers at Lambeau Field. Final score, Bears 24, Packers 22. It ends the Bears losing streak at 10. It ends an 11-game losing streak against Green Bay. The last time they beat them, good times were rolling when they beat the Packers in 2018 to clinch the division, and the party was on before the party and the lights were turned off in the playoffs by Cody Parkey and the Philadelphia Eagles. This ends the Bears season at 5-12. It also ends an agonizing, as we found out today, an agonizing last month and a half to 2 months for Bears kicker Cairo Santos, who didn't stop thinking about the week 4 game in which he was blocked, and he was questioned heavily after that game. What the hell happened? And then today, Dan Wiederer, Cairo Santos with a game-winning 51-yard field goal. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what poetic justice is, sorta. Weedsy, what'd you think, man?
Small correction. Week 11, I think it was, that Caleb got that kick blocked. It was, somewhere.
Cairo, not Caleb. We're going to just correct each other on this whole podcast today.
So Cairo got the kick blocked the last time they played the Packers.
Dan, you know we're becoming a team when you and I can correct each other. Let's make that pact for now on. Don't let me make mistakes, and I won't let you.
A little nugget here. The last time the Chicago Bears won a football game on this field that's pictured right here behind me, Tracy Porter was eating post-game turkey legs with Michelle Tafoya on Thursday Night Football on Thanksgiving back in 2015. It was John Fox that was leading a resurgent Bears team that thought they were in playoff contention. So that tells you how long it's been since I walked out into the chill of the Wisconsin night with the Bears having emerged triumphant. And it's always a jubilant locker room here. I've only seen it three times where the Bears have won, and it's always quite jubilant, and it was today because I think the Bears got that monkey off their back. You named a couple of the streaks that they ended. You understand how deep they had to dig to win this game in the final minutes, in the final seconds, on the final play with the final kick. You saw Cairo Santos go do that leap into the first row of Lambeau Field, and with all that adrenaline pumping through his veins, he didn't care, as he said, that he got rejected quickly as he jumped into those stands and pushed back. But there's also a part of me, Grody, that says, leave it to the Bears to pack this much feel good and this much fun into a victory that we basically now, like, this could carry us for a week in any other week of the season because it's week 18 and the season's ending and we've got more pressing matters to push onto, we've got to wrap all this up and bury it within the next like 14 hours so we can get onto the pressing matter of who they're going to hire as their next coach.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll tell you what, let's go in the locker room. Dan and I were both in the locker room after this game. The big picture is obviously going to be the focus. We'll get into it on this podcast and throughout this entire off season. But just for a minute or two, let's take you into the Bears locker room as it pertains to this win over the Packers. And I think, Dan, I think Cole Kmet best wrapped up what you just said, that this is great, this is awesome, but there's more to do. That was part of the feel in the locker room, and that's exactly what you and I got from Cole Kmet. Let's listen to Kmet here.
It's a lot of work ahead of this offseason, so I know everyone's, I'm sure, feeling good right now, and I'm feeling good right now, but we got to get ready and get back to work here pretty soon once we all get rested up in the games.
Is that like a double relief factor, not only ending the losing streak, but winning here at Lambeau?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't won a road game on Sunday in a while, a long time. So, yeah, it feels good. So that feels good. I mean, I haven't beat the Packers yet, so that was good to get that done with. And it's still a good team that they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be competing with somebody in the first round here. So, look, it's a good team, and it's a little unfortunate for us when you look at it, just because I know how talented we are in here. We just came up short at times throughout the season, and look, but that is what it is. And but like I said, a lot of work going forward.
Cautiously happy is what I call that. Dan, what did you think about Cole Kmet? That seems like the exact right tone, even if maybe they just be jumping around in the locker room.
Look, like, Cole understands how to frame things, and he's done a great job at that for 5 years, and he knows that there's some significance to this win, but it's very small in the grand scheme of things, that this was a 5-12 season that went off the rails in late October and never got back on the rails. And so that can't be lost, but it also doesn't mean the players can't feel happy about finally tasting victory again. And that's what we experienced in that locker room that you just mentioned. When we first walked in there, that music was pumping, right? And eventually they turned it down so we could actually have conversations with the players that were talking. But you felt the release, right? Like, it's a release of everything that's happened over the last 2.5 months to finally be able to break through and get that victory in the way they got it, right? Like, I think that's significant also, because your rookie quarterback led another big drive in the final minute and put yourself in position to win. And this time, they finally got the result at the end of one of those drives. We all know what happened earlier in the season on those three other division games that Caleb led drives on and didn't get the final end result. But this one is a real plus for the quarterback and the returning core players of this team.
Let's hear from a couple more players before we really dig into Caleb Williams, and something really interesting that Thomas Brown said about Caleb Williams, which will take us into the big picture. But I had you came in as well on this. I had a very entertaining conversation with Jalen Johnson after this game. And I will tell you, first of all, and you had to have noticed this, we know how down Jalen Johnson gets after losses. He takes this stuff very, very seriously. He was floating in that locker room, big smiles. It's why we were able to get to him, because he did two rounds of, he was done talking to the pack, Dan. And then I was like, hey, I'm sorry, I missed you. Can I get you? He's like, hell yeah, let's talk, man. It's a win.
Floating on an injured quadriceps, I think it is, that chased him from the game. And so Jalen wasn't able to give it the full 100% snap count today, but obviously pockets that first win over the Packers with great glee, because we know how few guys have been able to experience a win over the Packers, and particularly on this roster.
Let's listen to Jalen, because that quad injury came into play. I don't know if you know the gesture that he made to the crowd afterwards, but it'll all be covered right here, Dan. Here's Jalen Johnson.
And how good does that feel, man?
Feels good. Been a long time coming. For me, my first win against the Packers since I've been here, so feels really good.
I heard you flipped off the crowd.
Yeah, for sure. They was talking mess on my way out. It's like, the injured player, I don't feel like that was right. But, I mean, I got to do better, too, with the reaction. But overall, it was cool.
Oh, did they cheer when you got injured?
Nah, I mean, they, more cheering, it was kind of talking mess on the way out. So, I mean, that was it.
Really? And then when you actually threw the birds up, what was your reaction then?
Some of them just, oh, whatever. And then other people towards the end of my walkout were just like, nah, let's have more sportsmanship after that. So it was the initial crowd.
How perfect is it that you guys won this game the way you did, considering that Cairo Santos lost it for you guys last time, so to speak?
I mean, it just feels good. I'm proud of him. Just the specialist. Cause, I mean, it takes all three of them, but he's going to get more of the credit for sure. So it takes a good snap, good hold, and they finished it off for us.
Does this do anything for you guys in terms of, I know the now is great, but do you think, can you anticipate a carryover factor because you know you can now win at Lambeau?
I mean, you go into every game confident. So, I mean, now they're trying to just give us even more of a boost. But at the end of the day, every game is a different game. So, I mean, going into next season, we're going to have to take a new approach and find out what our plan of attack is for them coming into the building again.
You and Cole came in together. He was just talking about how good it is to finally check this box. What does it feel like to you to just get the haven't beaten the Packers thing off your back?
It feels good. I mean, I can finally say I beat the Packers. So, I mean, that in itself doesn't sound like too much. But when you've lost, I don't know how many we've lost at this point. But just for me, never winning. So, I mean, it definitely feels good. But, again, we got to find ways to string them along, to string some wins along.
First of all, Packers fans are mean, man. I mean, I know Bears fans are too. They're different kinds of mean in each fan base, man. But I remember Justin Jones, the old Bears three technique, man, flipping off the crowd as well and talking trash about them and Jaquan Brisker last year. And then obviously this little interaction with Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, look, like that's part of the deal in this rivalry. And when you are on the wrong end of it, as often as the Bears have been, you've got to understand that you're going to take some of that abuse. We know that there was a certain person that wore the green and gold who told them that he owned them. All his bleeping life, he freaking owned them. And so, look, like you got to find answers to that stuff. And you got to come out with the results that are there. Obviously, Jalen is able to get it. Keep in mind, Jalen did have a key forced fumble early in this game, a peanut punch style forced fumble in this game. That was a big play in this football game. One of the little homages to teams of Bears past, right? Like you get a peanut punch from Jalen Johnson and you get a Dave Tobe style 94-yard punt return from Josh Blackwell to open the scoring. Those are the types of fun moments that the Bears haven't had enough of this season against the Packers for the last 30 years or whatever it is, 20 years. And they were able to get some today.
That was amazing. And that leads me to my final locker room cut. And that was DJ Moore, who had quite the eventful day today.
Yes,
nine catches for 86 yards. He was the decoy on the play that you just talked about, the Josh Blackwell 98-yard TD return. DJ Moore had a huge reception to set up the game-winning field goal. He had two third-down catches on his own touchdown drive, and that was a pretty nifty run that he made. As a matter of fact, that's where I start with DJ Moore here right now, talking about the touchdown play.
A little late to the party. Your touchdown towards the end, is that the essence of the way you play? Found your blockers, found some room, and then all of a sudden you're in the end zone?
Yeah. What'd I say? The Mario Kart? Yeah, the superstar? Yeah, that was that kind of thing. So, yeah.
A repeat answer, too?
That was a repeat answer.
The decoy, too, on special teams. Is that your greatest decoy of all time?
Yeah, that's my only decoy of all time. So, no, I've been a decoy in many other plays, but that one was big because I was actually a part of it, special teams-wise, and we actually did it.
How rewarding is it, too? Because I know you guys have probably worked on that plenty. How rewarding is it to see that work perfectly?
It's amazing because I was just – when I was doing the decoy, I seen Blackwell running like – Paul Assen to the back, and he caught it, and then he had to run back and go score. So I was just watching it unfold, and I'm glad that everybody came to me, and he just hit the sideline.
What about your fumble?
What about it?
What happened? And how were you feeling at that moment, obviously?
I mean, I don't feel like it was a fumble because when I caught it, like I didn't really have the ball when he hit me, but, I mean, it's a fumble, and we came back and overcame it. Came back and do what I do, made the catch on down and got the extra point.
What does this win do?
The field goal.
What does this win do for the bigger picture, if anything?
We beat the Packers. So it's fuck.
There you go. You and I don't have to swear today, Dan, because we just let DJ Moore do it, man. That's hilarious. And I did put that on Twitter, and it's getting a lot of attention on at Grody Sports. But what did you think of DJ Moore, what he said there in his game, Dan?
Well, look, eventful day, as you mentioned. And I didn't love his acting job on the punt return by Blackwell. I didn't think he sold it well enough. And they obviously got away with it. The biggest part of that play is Josh Blackwell doing, as DJ said, and haul-assing his way down to catch the football. And he caught it over his shoulder. Now, that's a difficult play to make because you are running at full speed. You have to catch a football, you know, in a way that is not conventional for a punt return. And then you've got to turn around and see if you got a highway. And Josh Blackwell had an express lane when he caught that one. The fumble by DJ Grody, that's on 1st and 20 late in the game. And it's that moment where you go, okay, we were looking for what other ways the Bears could lose this year. Here it is. Their best receiver fumbles the ball in the final 2 minutes and sets up Malik Willis for a short field, go ahead field goal drive. Right. And you were convinced at that moment that the Bears had done it. They had found another way to create agony for themselves and everybody that follows them. But to their credit, they came back in the final minute, 54 seconds and really 48 seconds when Caleb Williams took the huddle, and they were able to win the game in big part because on the final completion of the day, this is not to be lost in this discussion, that Caleb and DJ with a little bit of oversight from the coaching staff found a way to capitalize on a matchup that was there for them, hit a pass over the middle, and with very little time to spare, efficiently get up there, get the ball clocked, and set up Cairo for the game-winning 51-yard field goal attempt. Really, really cool play there, right? Like, and it was reminiscent of what they did, Caleb and DJ, to set up the game-tying field goal at the end of regulation against the Vikings. And to see those moments kind of stack up here, you get a little bit of that positive energy and that spark from it.
I also thought that Keenan Allen pass on the flea flicker would also be the other thing that we'd be talking about on this podcast too, as well. There it was again. Like, yeah, he couldn't have thrown a worse. I mean, how could we be that critical of a wide receiver throwing the football? But it could not have.
Well, here's why we could be critical, because it was so obvious that no one was open. And nobody. it's like either just run or put the ball in the seats, but don't just be like, whatever. I'm just going to throw this up over in this area.
Egregious.
Egregious. It's a great word for it. And then Keenan Allen got another chance to run a trick play on the conversion. Looked like a variation of Philly special, and that was covered up, and they didn't get to score on that. And then they ultimately decided, you know what, we're not going to go for two anymore. We're going to kick the extra point here and you know, basically just live to see another day after taking a gamble that didn't pay off.
Let's zero in a little bit now on Caleb Williams's game. And we'll be talking about him all offseason, but in this game, 21 of 29, 148 yards and a touchdown, another lousy start to this game again for Caleb. But then he picked up steam like he does, a bunch of great third down conversions, a fourth down conversion, obviously making the big throws at the end of the game, except for the bad, bad start. You got to give him credit for picking it up towards the end of the game. What do you think about today?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like this is something that the Bears got to figure out, because like, and I don't know what audio you have connected to this, and you can steer me in the right direction if I'm going in the wrong direction, but like Thomas Brown said it after the game, Grody, that like Caleb's competitive hunger in those game on the line moments, on those final drives, is so upper echelon, right? And we've seen it now all season where he doesn't flinch. Like their back's against the wall and he's got the ball and they've got to go make plays. And Thomas Brown said, yeah, I think he's actually better in those situations than he is for the rest of the game. And that's problematic because you want to see those two things marry up. But it's not problematic because when the game's on the line and your quarterback's capable of those things, that was ultimately something that really badly derailed Justin Fields' time in Chicago. And to see Caleb consistently respond to those moments and be able to make those plays when they matter, it's a huge, huge deal. It's a huge box on his checklist that he has checked this season. Now you just got to pair it up with more consistency through the first 3 3/4 quarters, right? Like, and get that to work too.
Absolutely. And I actually have the exact quote from Thomas Brown that you were paraphrasing there pretty well. He said, quote, Caleb Williams has got a killer instinct. Yeah. He's really probably better in those moments than he is in normal down and distances. There's a gap to be bridged when it comes to that. And you're right, Dan. There it is. There is one. I mean, we can all watch these games and agree, even if the people that come at us for being critical or overly praising Caleb, whichever angle or aisle you are in, if you've watched these games, you know it's got to get a whole hell of a lot better, as you just said, Dan, in the first three quarters for Caleb.
No question. And as Thomas Brown alludes to Caleb bridging that gap, right? Like, we can also bridge the gap to the discussion about what Thomas Brown's, I guess, approach to Caleb Williams has been over the last 2 months, and particularly since he took the head coaching reins as well. You've got a guy who isn't afraid to be direct and honest with his quarterback. And I think Caleb really appreciates that. I think he benefits from that. And to hear Thomas Brown today just sort of talk about the way I think he's called them intense conversations, right, that he's been having with Caleb Williams recently,
yeah,
to try to give him honest and direct feedback that will help him in his career. I think it's super cool in a lot of ways. And I think it is meaningful, because you heard some of that reflection from Caleb after the game, where he was sort of for the first time publicly acknowledging things that had been kind of bouncing around and insinuating. And I don't know if you have all of Caleb's transcript in front of you.
I actually have. You know what, Dan? Here's what I'm going to do for everybody. I actually have the audio of Thomas Brown, because you brought it up. I thought that what you're about to hear from Thomas Brown was the most important part of any of the post game, anything that we got out of the locker room, because he is telling you all about what Caleb Williams needs right now. And the fact that he is an interim head coach and he took on this kind of authority in this moment in regards to Caleb, I thought this was some hot stuff from Thomas Brown. Let's listen to him talking about conversations, as you said, Dan, with Caleb Williams, and then we'll hear from Caleb.
End of the game, there were some ups and downs, but Caleb Williams, who we've had some extremely intense conversations over the last days, weeks, but the belief never wavered, and having a chance at the end to make a critical play, make a critical check, but also be calm and calm and collective to get us into a down clock situation. And then you think about the first game, how the first game ended at our place against Green Bay, and no better feeling than Cairo having a chance to come on the field. Great job by our field goal team to protect. It was perfect execution, drilled it, right, game over.
What necessitated, you said you had intense conversations with Caleb Williams. Why was that necessary, or what was some of the substance?
I've said all along, I think when it comes to creating change, conflict is necessary. And so it's been good dialogues between us. So it's not like we've been fighting every single day. But I think understanding what it takes for him to be successful, to be at his best, was always my goal. And so to issue challenges, to always do a really good job coaching, critiquing. And I think the understanding for him, which he plays the most difficult position in this game, right, by far and away. He's a rookie quarterback in his league. But the understanding of him as a leader, and the way that he communicates, the way he carries himself, the body language he displays, it affects the entire team. But also, our offense can't go if he's not going.
I understand the spirit you're saying. It wasn't an argument. It wasn't anything bad. But yeah. Was it back and forth? Was it you saying something, Caleb saying something, or was it directives from you?
Yeah, it's not much back and forth. It's more just my communication. I might ask a question here and there. But I think he's been extremely receptive as far as the communication goes. So it's a little bit less back and forth and more just the understanding, asking questions if a question comes up.
When it comes to making change, conflict is necessary. I love that. I mean, he goes out strong. I'll say that, man. You talk about going out strong. Thomas Brown did.
Look, and we had conversations with him on Friday afternoon about his thoughts on confrontation, quote unquote, and the very same vibe of being able to put healthy pressure on players, and particularly the quarterback in this situation, to understand what the demands of this league are and how to kind of meet them. And so I'm appreciative of the approach Thomas Brown has had. You feel a little bit bad for him that he only got one win out of his interim head coaching position. You feel good that he got the one today, you know, that gives him an opportunity to walk out of here and say, hey, I beat the Packers. You know, like,
big one.
That's a pretty cool punctuation on a 5 week period that was pretty challenging. But as it relates to Caleb, I'm a little confused, Grody, because I think after 4.5 months of us reading between the lines of things that have been said at Hallis Hall, there is this almost this subtext and this indication that Caleb wasn't pushed properly for too long. And now you have a head coach who like put his foot down and was like, this is how we're going to push. And this is how you're going to need to push yourself going forward to get the results that you want out of your career. It's a shame that all of the different things had to happen and all the different exits from the building had to occur for Caleb to get there, because Caleb is very forthright with us and saying, look, like the next coach better be able to challenge me. The next coach better be able to push me and tell me
discipline.
When
Didn't
up.
He use the word right. discipline?
Like,
yeah.
And wants to be told when he's screwing up. And you're like, well, how did they get so far off the rails with that? When you have a guy that, even going back to Lincoln Riley's comments post draft about Caleb wanting to constantly be challenged and pushed, how did they not set up an environment for him to be constantly pushed until you had your passing game coordinator get promoted to be an offense coordinator, get promoted to be the interim head coach? The last thing I'll say on this, and I'll turn it back over to you, is Caleb said something within his comments about what he wants to get better on going forward, about how I need to have less people around and I need to be like more, and I don't have the exact thing in front of me. Let me see if I can click really quick and grab part of that, because he said, whether it's off the field and maybe having less people around, less distractions, less time for other things. Like, so that's an acknowledgement from Caleb that his own personal growth is going to require setting up a structure, right? Like for himself, that allows him to grow in the way that he wants to, and obviously that the team wants him to as well.
Well, it makes me wonder too, and again, this is probably stuff that we can get into better in the next, you know, couple of weeks too, in terms of everything that went wrong. It makes me wonder if the Bears were a little bit skittish or a little bit worried about some of the things that we were all hearing about Caleb Williams, and, you know, like this attitude of this prima donna coming in. I mean, just the way he was built up in so many different ways. And I say that just because it sounds like they were overly cautious with him, that it was Shane Waldron. I don't know the full story, but I would imagine that part of the problem Shane Waldron had was, oh my God, this is the most delicate, valuable, expensive, unbelievable generational thing that's ever stepped into Hallis Hall. You know, don't screw this up. And he overcompensated by probably going too easy. And I imagine the Bears just didn't really know yet how to act around this kid who comes into Hallis Hall as a millionaire.
That's part of it. It's partly being a millionaire. It's partly being, by his own admission, very hard on himself, like very self-critical. Like, how many times did we hear in the spring and even into the season about Caleb needing to show grace to himself to be able to handle the failures and the rough patches in the development curve? And so, like, I think there's part of it where you see someone being really hard on themselves and you don't want to pile on. You know, you're like, I got to just give him some space and let him regroup. But then it's a very slippery slope and a thin line to not correcting things that need to be corrected. And I think that's going to be something where, when they go out and try to hire a new head coach soon, that they need to find someone that gets that. You know, they understand what they're walking into. They understand the person that they're inheriting and the DNA that Caleb Williams has, and they figure out a way to push the right buttons. Because that seems to be, more than anything, what Caleb has kind of made the cry for help. So that's probably a little bit too extreme to say, but with what he said earlier in the week about what he desires in a head coach, with what he said after the game today, like, he wants a certain style of coach, and you're just going to have to find somebody that knows how to push those buttons.
Well, let's hear from Caleb, and this is in direct response to what you just heard from Thomas Brown. Again, summarizing, Thomas Brown saying that, you know, conflict is good. He's had some intense conversations with Caleb over the last couple of weeks, and they've been one-sided conversations. Here is the Bears QB1 Caleb Williams on all that.
Brown said that you guys have had some pretty intense conversations in the last week.
Yep.
What has that been like, and how have you received that, and how helpful has that been?
Yeah, it's been great. The way I grew up, I always respond to challenges. Well to people that tell me the truth. And so I would say that's what he did. And got to keep growing, got to keep going, got to keep, no matter the situation and how I'm feeling, you know, got to find ways to be better, got to find ways to have games like this where it's tough and find ways to come out with the win at the end.
Excuse me.
Wow. Choked up after that.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, very choked up. And yeah, there it is. I mean, that sort of summarizes what you and I have been saying back and forth about Caleb Williams, that he want, like, basically, I think Caleb Williams's attitude is, I'll take whatever you guys want to throw at me if this means that I can, you know, peek out my skills and the Bears will win and everybody will be happy.
I don't think that there is any lack of want to in Caleb Williams to chase the grand goals that he set for himself. He just has to know how to do it, and he has to be surrounded by the right people that help him figure out how to do it. That's the next part of this riddle. That's the next part of this mystery that the Bears have to figure out. And whoever's in charge of that, whether it's Ryan Poles, whether it's Kevin Warren, whether it's the two of them together, they've got to go out on this mission to find a coach who, in large part, unlocks the greatness of this young quarterback, because we've seen enough over 17 games here. And by the way, credit to Caleb Williams for making all 17 starts this season. And today's a prime example of why you play a quarterback in week 18 with nothing on the line, because of what he derived from this game, a game-winning drive, more learning experiences, some positive energy. But along with that, like, you need to find him the proper launching pad for where to go, because we've seen, again, the arm talent, the game on the line moments, the stuff that's in there. You don't turn away from that, Grody, anytime soon, right? Like, you give that the full 3+ years of him being a starter before you even have a single second guess about where things are headed. And that, I think, is going to be important for the Bears, is to understand that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's a huge part of everything that's obviously going on with the Bears. All right, I want to get into sitting between you and I in the press box today, from a distance, not next to, was Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham. They were here, and obviously we don't know what will become of them going into next year. I mean, my gut still, Dan, is that Ryan Poles will be back, but that's the next big part. We know that they're looking for the coach, and that's huge, but if you change anything in terms of your opinion about Ryan Poles, which to me has always just been, let's keep an eye on that. There's more to be done and more to be evaluated.
Yeah. I mean, if you made me place a bet on it right here at 6:55 on Sunday night, I'd say Ryan Poles is going to be back for a fourth season as the Chicago Bears general manager. With that said, I think that things are always fluid. And until I see Ryan Poles sit at the dais inside Hallis Hall on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it may be this week, and it start to address a plan going forward, I will, you know, kind of sit at the edge of my seat, understanding that this league is crazy and weird things can happen. I've always been of the opinion, and I wrote this again for what I posted at ChicagoTribune.com after the game, that his performance review deserves deep scrutiny. If you're going to try to do this thing correctly, if you're going to try to make the right hire going forward, if you're going to try to reach out to candidates and figure out what their visions are for taking the Chicago Bears out of the NFL dungeon and lifting them to a higher place, you have to know where your failures have occurred. You have to acknowledge your failures, and you have to go line by line again and figure out why they happened and what's behind them, you know? And so I do think that part of the process is important for the people above Ryan Poles to do. What conclusion they draw, we'll find out within a matter of 48 to 72 hours, and we'll know what direction they're headed in. I will say that when you talk to folks around the league, there is reservation from folks that would be signing up to be applicants for the head coaching job here of taking a leap of faith. If you don't know Ryan Poles, what's going to make you jump and take that leap of faith that he is going to figure it out after, you know, what is it, 15-36, like 4-20 against playoff opponents, you know, 3-15 in the division. Like, those are things that require scrutiny, you know, and what has bothered me for the duration of my time covering the beat is the Bears so often just too easily and too comfortably shrug past failure and go, oh, well, we'll figure it out. And so, like, we'll see where that whole thing heads. That tells you a little bit of how, my brain is spinning.
I think you say that very well about Ryan Poles. There's nothing that I can add to that. So I think it's perfectly put. Everything I love, and I've heard you say versions of what you just said here on Take the North. No, it's really good stuff, man, that you have to go item through item, line by line with Ryan Poles. And I would guess that that's probably already been going on. Please tell me that they're not going to depend on one meeting to figure all this out.
Of course not. They, you know, they've had since Thanksgiving weekend, right, to like start setting the runway for this. And so certainly you're kind of in ongoing conversation on that. One little footnote to this, Hayden Fox, the former coach of the Minnesota State Screaming Eagles, Eagles, and I think he had a couple year stint with the expansion Orlando Breakers.
Oh yeah, right? Towards the end when things were going rough, right?
He sang the national anthem out here.
How about the Craig T. Nelson
field today?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is it possible that you add Hayden Fox to your coaching candidate list by the time dawn breaks tomorrow?
Man, was that the conversation going on with the beat writers? Because you know I was over by the broadcasters. We're not that witty.
Look, this is silly season right now, and there's a lot of rumors that go around. I don't think you can discount that. Like, if Ben Johnson doesn't want to come here, like, why wouldn't you reach out to Hayden Fox?
Oh man, why not? Yeah, who was the Dauber? Was it Dauber still with us?
Dauber was the older or the younger, huskier blonde guy, right?
Yeah, kind of a dummy. Yeah, stringy, long blonde, stringy hair.
Jerry Van Dyke, the older assistant. Like, I don't remember his. Like, you know who he's going to bring with him if they're still,
that's true.
If they're still alive, right?
If they're with us, I'm not sure. The Van Dykes never die. I mean, I think Dick's still alive. So,
can I let you in on a little press box anecdote?
Oh, please.
Ryan Poles did actually approach me at the soda machine and asked me if I remembered the name of Coach's assistant, and then asked me if he was still alive. So this conversation did occur at about 11:59 this morning as I was getting my cherry Coke to set
That's
up.
That's hilarious. He identified you as a Bears historian. Congratulations. Were you able to answer the question?
I think his name was Dauber. I have no idea if he's still alive, and you know.
Hilarious.
Great to have
that's so funny,
here.
Man. I will say, like, I think one of the themes of today, even though, you know, in the grand scheme, it's more meaningless, this game, than not, I would just use one word to describe everybody after this game, and that was smiles. Like, everybody, even if the media sarcastic, oh my god, I can't believe they won the game, smiles. I saw Ryan Poles walking into the locker room, and as he walked by me, I just said congratulations, and he just smiled. Goes into the locker, players smiling,
look,
relieved, genuine happiness.
So tell people that this rivalry doesn't matter, right?
Like,
there's significance to it, to everyone involved in it, and they understand the blemishes that come with losing it and the joys that come with winning it. We have one small surprise for you, Mark Grody, before we fully get out of here.
Oh, good.
We were discussing before the podcast began that I'm not sure that you had joined us when the Bears last won a football game, which was in London way back in October. We do a little something here on Take the North called game balls, Mark.
Oh, go
when
on.
The Bears win a football game, we each give a game ball to somebody.
Oh, wow.
And so like, I'm sorry that it's taken us 2.5 months to introduce you to this concept, but here we are, and there's that handsome man in the middle, Adam Stadzinski, to give away the first game ball.
So, first off, congratulations, Mark Grody.
Thank you. This is a big moment for me.
You did check, right?
This is Mark Grody's first victory podcast with Take the North. So congratulations. The last, obviously, the last victory pod we did was obviously after the London game. That Grody was not on the podcast yet. We were
that was still the great David Haugh. Yeah.
Well, I think that David had officially stepped away, but you had not been brought on board yet.
Oh yeah,
so
it was solo Weedsy. Well, with you,
It was a combination of, you know, me and Weedsy and some fill-ins, and so yeah. So congratulations, your first ever Take the North victory podcast.
I feel great. Show me how it's done, guys. I'll let you two guys give out the first two game balls.
So yeah, we and you can. I usually we like to. You can repeat if someone steals yours. So there's no
repeat.
Rules there.
I won't repeat.
It's lame if you do, but you can do it. If you want to be lame,
you can do it.
Okay.
I'm
not going to do it. I'll go third. I'm going to let you guys have the first pickings because I actually don't know who I'd pick first.
All right. I'll just go with the obvious one. I'm going to go with Cairo Santos hitting the game winning field goal. You could tell afterwards how excited he was. It was really funny that he tried to do the Lambeau leap and he couldn't quite get up there. But, you know, and he's doing like a soccer style celebration. And, you know, that was really cool and a really good moment for him. I know that he probably felt a measure of redemption after the one got blocked in Chicago. So that was awesome. And, you know, man, it felt good. It just felt good. You know, watching the game at home, man, it was so good to see that field goal go through and get a winningest to Packers. So, yeah, good. Kudos to Cairo.
One little footnote on that, Studs, because Cairo did tell us after the game that the direction he was kicking on that final possession was the direction that was harder to kick in, and that in the pregame, both he and Brandon McManus were coming up well short. Cairo did make one from 53 in pregame and said, well, at least I know I've got that in me. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of where he was at mentally, and so to see him crunch that in this cold, chilly ass Green Bay weather out here to make that kick, that's a big deal.
Well,
I'm gonna go
He did also say that it was significant too. I think he noted that the wind was pretty still when he kicked the game winner. So I think he had, you know, if there was a little wind, I think he had enough light to get it through. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was a type of celebration that was worthy of the fifth win that hopefully would have occurred back on October 13th or whatever it was, or 27th when they
Which and now I know why I got it mixed up earlier. It was the fourth straight loss in the 10-game losing streak for the Packers, not week 4. So there you go. That was the wanted to give you guys the process on the mistake making that goes on with me.
There was a four.
Yeah, Dan, who's your game ball?
I'm going to go ahead and flip the game ball to the rookie quarterback. I just love what he did in the final 48 seconds to set up that drive. Obviously, it starts with a little bit of a gift when he gets sacked and gets horse-collared on the move outside the pocket. But then he makes some high-level throws, and I really just can't just praise enough the final sequence of making those reads with DJ. Obviously they called a play. Green Bay took a timeout to adjust their defense, and then they came back and they understood what they were seeing, to hit that slant to DJ to get up and clock it, to lead that drive in that moment in this building. You know, Caleb tells us after the game, big Aaron Rodgers fan growing up, we knew that he was mesmerized by the opportunity to play inside Lambeau Field and to be able to punctuate his first appearance here with that type of game-winning drive. Here's the game ball, kid.
I'm going to give my first ever Take the North game ball to DJ Moore. Then he, you know, overcame the fumble, and that's what good players do. He had I loved his touchdown, man. It just felt, it was so vintage, the 32-yard play. Yeah, DJ. The fact that he made that play. And like I've said before, he's so good at using his blockers, hiding behind blockers, and then finding the space and then ending up in the end zone. The reception, again, to set up the game-winning field goal. The decoy, even though it could have been a little better job, he is a plus on the plus-minus scale for having been on the field and being the decoy on that particular play. 9 catches, 86 yards for DJ Moore and a TD. So DJ Moore gets my game ball. And if I may, I know this is rule breaking here. If I'm imposing my will too much, if I'm insisting upon myself, can I just give a really quick honorable mention to I know this is down the scale, but DeAndre Swift has been running his ass off the last couple of weeks. And look, he's not perfect. You still watch him. And there were plays today where you're like, good God. But 20 carries, 65 yards, and a TD. He was helping to make life easier for Caleb Williams in the second half. So just an honorable mention or a Swiftie mention.
I'm going to give one short honorable mention and then Steph can jump
in. See what I brought now? We're doing honorable mentions.
This one's good because it was like when we hit the 2-minute warning, the Bears had picked up a first down on a DeAndre Swift run. And our a good friend of the podcast, Mark Potash, went to Twitter and said, 2-minute warning, Bears are ahead. That should about do it. Something to that effect. Yeah. Go ahead, if you're not familiar with Potsy's Twitter account, and jump in that thread for a little bit, because Potsy, I said to Brad Biggs and Colleen Kane to my right and my left when he did that, I said, the one thing that coaches at Hallis Hall ask for is for players to know who they are and to bring that to the table every time they play. Mark Potash delivered in that regard. He knows who he is. He knows what he was doing, and he did it successfully in that moment.
Studs, you got another honorable mention? Or you want your honorable mention?
I wanted to congratulate yourself, Grody, and me for correctly predicting the winner of this game and myself for pretty much nailing the score and how it would happen. I said 24-21, Bears went on a walk-off field goal. 24-22, Bears went on a walk-off field goal. So
that's right. That's how we do it here on the Take the North podcast.
Yeah. Dan had no faith. We backed away from his own preseason prediction that Caleb Williams would come into Green Bay and win the game.
But I said he would lead a game-winning drive on the final possession of the season. This was back in September, but I thought that was going to get him win number 10 when they lost the 12th game. I came down off that prediction and said, no chance it happens.
Hey, win number 5, halfway there.
Oh, by the way, honorable mention, that 6-sack by Kevin Byard.
Today. Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, cool to watch from the press box because you saw it coming from a mile away.
Yes, yes. And usually that's a free-for-all hit that happens to Bears quarterbacks. So it was nice to see it and forces the fumble. Dan, anything else here, man,
today? No, I got to get on these cold Wisconsin streets and drive back towards Sheboygan tonight.
Oh, you're going to Sheboygan?
Yeah, I'm going to have a little stop over in Sheboygan.
Oh, okay. I'm looking to go round trip, but we'll see. You know, I have the option to stop. I actually had a flat tire to start my day in Appleton, Wisconsin, which was just awful. But that felt like about 24 hours ago.
Honorable mention, Mark Grody, for overcoming the flat tire to get to the game and secure his first Take the North victory.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody. And thank you for being with us here on the Take the North podcast. And as Dan and I both here at Lambeau Field, snow gently falling.
Oh, don't tell me that. See, this Look is why we got to get on these streets.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago. You're only going to Sheboygan, man. I'm going to Chicago, baby. He's Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and a frequent contributor on The Score. Adam Studzinski is our executive producer of Take the North. He's also the executive producer of the Bernstein and Harris show on The Score. I am Mark Grody. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk to you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.